And you're listening to Unusual Sources here on 93.3 CFMU FM. We have lots of new programming today, as well as Taylor Report episodes you haven't heard. That's later in the program. But we're going to be starting out with some live new information about an event that's going to be coming across Canada on Saturday, on Sunday, and again later this month. And that has to do with boycotts, and it has to do with the initiatives we've been talking about this program in the past. So whether you're a new listener or you've been listening before, this will be interesting and exciting developments. And we're going to be speaking with a member of an organization that's involved in the BDS really been involved in activities that are being organized right here in Hamilton, Dundas, Greater Hamilton area that also extend across the country. So that's coming up in just a couple minutes, so stay tuned. And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton at 93.3 on the FM dial and the rest of the world at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. Now, there's going to be a series of events happening across Canada this weekend, right here in Hamilton, Wentworth, as I said, and also in other cities. Starting Saturday, you'll see events Sunday, and later in the month, later in the year as well. So we're very pleased to be bringing for the first time on this program Dale Hildebrand. And Dale is a staff coordinator with the United Network for a Just Peace in Palestine, Israel. So Dale, I wanted to thank you very much for being on the program with us today.
Thanks for having me on the program. It's a pleasure to be with you, Brendan.
Well, you know, I don't know if we've ever featured a representative from JPPI before. I was wondering, just could you tell us a little about what the United Network for Just Peace in Palestine, Israel is?
Sure. The network is an informal network of members and supporters of the United Church of Canada. What unites us is that we're passionate about peace and justice in Palestine and Israel. And so we work within a church structure of the United Church, but we're actually separate from the United Church in that we don't speak for the official church, and that sort of allows us to move in ways that that maybe wouldn't be possible within a more institutional framework. So we have members across Canada, and members who are wanting to act on the issue of bringing a just peace to the region.
Well, you've certainly been exposed to issues and seen things that ordinary citizens and activists don't always get to see. I know you've been to Palestine before. It was no doubt very troubling to witness the occupation. What was it that you saw there in February? Was it something, you know, the trip, was that something that played a role in your personal support for the idea of BDS?
I think that's certainly true. It was probably my, you know, 12th or 15th trip to the Middle East, and specifically to Palestine and Israel. And, you know, it's very difficult to not be impressed and moved by what you see when you go there in terms of the sort of restrictions that Palestinians are under as a result of checkpoints and expanding settlements and so forth. And I guess what I observed on my last trip is that the speed and expansion of the settlements is just astonishing in terms of the size and scope. So, you know, for Palestinians, it just means increased mobility restrictions, increased difficulty in getting to their fields for work or to their places of employment or to the next village over. And it's a very dark situation for Palestinians.
I know the European Union had been reviewing the policy on products from settlements, given what the United Nations has said there. So is that one of the reasons you're focusing on the settlements, or why is that so important?
Yeah, the settlements, I mean, we feel that for a just peace to happen in the region, you know, a viable and contiguous Palestinian state needs to emerge basically on the land that was belonging to Palestinians before the 1967 war on the other side of the Green Line. And the settlements are the most visible manifestation of the occupation. There's probably 100 or so settlements that are sanctioned by the Israeli government, and another 100 plus settlements that have just sprung up that are there. Perhaps the Israeli government turns a blind eye to them, but they're there. And so you have, you know, approximately 500, 600,000 settlers living in these settlements and protected by the Israeli government, moving on roads that divide and restrict Palestinians. So we feel that the products coming out of settlements, the settlements are deemed to be illegal, even by Canada, which is, as you know, is very pro-Israeli in its outlook. They're deemed to be illegal, and therefore we don't think that we should be promoting and buying the products that come out of these settlements, because the products essentially support the economies of these settlements and allow them to expand and take over more land, and that's just a recipe for continuing conflict and certainly not a recipe for peace.
Well, yours is a position that's increasingly popular globally, but it means that you have to look at the situation materially and decide what you're going to do. Now, you talk about the illegal settlements and products being made in them. So what products have you noticed, or what products have you chosen to focus on that would bring attention to the situation?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, and we have identified several products that we know are made in the illegal Israeli settlements. It's somewhat difficult for the average person to do that, because the Israeli government allows products that come from the occupied West Bank to be labeled as made in Israel, rather than you know, to say that they're made in an Israeli settlement or that sort of thing. And so, but through some partners on the ground there, including some Israeli groups, we have been able to identify a number of products that we want to target, and I'll just give you some examples. One is a company called SodaStream, which has become increasingly popular in Canada and other countries. It's essentially a machine for making your own soda pop at home, and their main plant is in an Israeli settlement called Ma'ale Adumim, which is just east of Jerusalem, one of the largest Israeli settlements. So you can find these, you know, this product at pretty much every major store in Canada, including Staples, Canadian Tire, the Bay, Future Shop, etc. Another large company is called Keter Plastics. Also have one of their production facilities in the Israeli settlement of Barkan, and Keter makes a lot of household products, bathroom products, garden products, one of the largest plastic manufacturers in the world with over $1 billion in sales every year. So if you were to go to Canadian Tire website, for example, their Walmart website, and type in Keter, you would find, you know, 12 to 15 products that are featured there. A third product that we're focusing on is Ahava. Ahava makes beauty products out of minerals and mud that comes from the Dead Sea, which is also in the West Bank. It's partially owned as a company by settlement, and you can find those beauty products at the Bay and several other retail outlets in Canada. So those are just some examples. There are also some wines that are produced in the West Bank. There are raw materials that are used in things like diapers. So there's a trail of quite a few products that you can find in Canada, but of course they all say made in Israel.
Okay, well you've identified several of these products that are made in settlements, and you're bringing attention to them. So there are going to be a series of actions, and there have been actions already to point out some of these products and say to stores that you intend not to buy them. So what actions have taken place recently, and what's coming up on the agenda in order to push through on some of these products?
Yeah, so there are a number of groups in Canada that are involved in the boycott of settlement products, and over the past few days and over the next few days, and in fact next few weeks, we'll be holding pickets at stores which sell settlement products. The goal of these pickets is to make people aware of the need to be discerning when they shop and not support these illegal settlements, to inform consumers about the products that are being sold in the stores that they're about to enter, and to ask them not to buy them. And we hope in doing that, that the Canadian public will become more aware that when you shop, you're making ethical choices, and in this case, you're making a choice that is going to perpetuate the occupation and perpetuate the conflict in the region. We also hope that that stores will get the message that that these products aren't okay to sell. A lot of store managers probably aren't even really aware that they're coming from inside the West Bank from these settlements, and so we want to make store managers aware. We want to basically we would like them to not carry these products anymore, and so what you'll be seeing these sorts of pickets at stores like Walmart, Home Depot, the Bay, and other various stores.
Now, you mentioned partners in the activities. I mean, this is happening in different cities and at different times. So what are the organizations involved in Canada in these boycotts?
Yeah, there's a number of groups that are involved in this. Of course, the group that I'm the staff coordinator for, the United Network for Justice and Peace in Palestine and Israel. There are some Jewish groups as well. One called Independent Jewish Voices is one of the leading organizations in promoting the boycott. Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East is a well-established organization that has actually been doing this for some time. A group that that is quite popular on many campuses in Canada is Boycott Israeli Apartheid Campaign. So these are some of the groups that are involved, and we hope that more groups who are concerned about human rights and about making good choices when people shop will join this effort. But you know, the boycott movement is growing around the world. It's a tactic that was used very successfully in South Africa. And these things do take some time to get moving, but we feel some real momentum right now in terms of groups that have signed up for this and people who are interested in the issue.
Well, there's all sorts of places people can go now. I mean, there is something called the Canadian Boycott Coalition, so I guess that is one of the umbrellas to organize some of these groups together?
Yeah, the Canadian Boycott Coalition has a website called CanadianBoycottCoalition.ca. People can get more information about the groups that are involved in the boycott and about the products that we're boycotting. There are, you know, the church that I'm a part of, the United Church of Canada, passed a resolution a year and a half ago around avoiding settlement products and asking United Churches to avoid settlement products. And there's also information on the United Church website. There's a number of places where people can get more information on the internet.
Oh, it's good that you bring that up, because they can look at Canadian Boycott Coalition, they can look at elements of the United Church websites. Is there anywhere else you would point people to on the internet to get information about current actions or the campaign in general?
I think if people would like to know more about the larger movement in general, I would urge them to go to the BDS global website, and if you just type BDS movement into your search engine, that will bring you to that website. The Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East, CJPME.org, also has a very good website, has lots of information about upcoming activities. Those would be some places to find out more.
Well, I can see you've gone to a number of trips to the Middle East. You've been to Palestine. You've worked on these campaigns. What you're telling us is resting atop a very deep foundation of knowledge and experience. I can see that this has been an ongoing issue and an ongoing campaign where you've been able to educate others in Canada. So I'm very pleased that we could have someone like this that has experience practically, theoretically, you know, writing, researching, living, seeing on this program, because this is how the word gets out about these kind of events. And we have an event in Hamilton area, which I'm going to announce after the interview. I'll give people some details on that. But you can see how it fits into what people are working hard as individuals and as activists in Canada to achieve on a human rights issue. So I just want to thank you for the work you're doing, and thank you for the time that you gave to us on the program today.
Well, thanks very much, Brendan. It's a very important issue, and I think a lot of people throw up their arms and hands when they hear about conflict in the Middle East, but it is a very solvable conflict, and I think there is a solution that is possible that brings peace and justice to both Israelis and to Palestinians, and that's our ultimate goal here. And so certainly welcome everyone who wants to join that movement, and hope that that people will find out more and join in some of these actions.
Well, this is great. Well, thanks very much, Dale.
You're very welcome, Brendan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Dale Hildebrand. And as I said, he is staff coordinator with the United Network for a Just Peace in Palestine, Israel. We've talked on this program about Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East. There's been a number of campaigns. There's been a number of campaigns with independent Jewish voices. And it's good to see the other organizations that are involved in this. As Dale said, people sometimes throw up their arms and struggle and say, oh, what's the Middle East? What can you do? But there have been people working on the efforts to bring awareness to international law and human rights issues and have done actually a great job in getting people to think differently about the campaign in the past decade. There's also advertisements about the occupation that have gone up on bus systems out west, and they've tried to introduce that here, but there's been resistance to that. So you might hear about those efforts at some point as well. There's actually a lot of activity. There's a groundswell, and you can get involved in it. So in Hamilton area, there is a boycott of SodaStream products, and that's going to be just outside of Hamilton area or greater Hamilton area. It's in Dundas. What I'm told here is that it's going to be this Saturday, November 9th at 11 o'clock a.m., there's a Facebook group sponsored by the McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice, and they speak about the previous events and then say what they're going to do this Saturday. I understand that they're looking to raise awareness about the existence of these products at the Dundas Canadian Tire location at 50 Coots Drive. So what the McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice are going to be doing are meeting prior to 11 o'clock p.m. at a bus stop nearby where they can just bus over or walk over to that location. But if you want the information, I advise you to consult the Facebook group. What they're saying is that this is round three. So this weekend, along with actions in seven other Canadian cities, Hamiltonians will hold a boycott picket of an Israeli settlement product, SodaStream, at the Canadian Tire store in Dundas. We have held two previous boycott activities, one at Goodness Me Natural Food Stores and another at the Canadian Tire store at Queenston and Nash. They give details about SodaStream, the home carbonation system, which is produced in an Israeli settlement. They give information about that, and they talk about the five local organizations that have signed on to the campaign to boycott SodaStream in Hamilton, which are the Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East, Independent Jewish Voices, McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice, the Hamilton and District Labor Council, and the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. So prior to the event, there are ways you can help by emailing the manager of the Dundas Canadian Tire store. They give you contact information for that. But otherwise, I would advise you to go to the Facebook group, and you can get the details about where people are meeting so that they can come down there for the 11 a.m. boycott this Saturday. That is the Hamilton action. There are other actions happening this weekend. I would also advise you, if you want to get involved in this and you're not on campus, you don't know McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice on Facebook, just email the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. That's hcsw@cogeco, that's cogeco.ca. You'll be able to get information from there as well by email. So you can try hcsw@cogeco.ca. So this has been a continuing feature on this program. We gave some notice about the prior demonstration at Canadian Tire, which I should say was an interesting event. It had about 30 people by the time it got rolling, 35 maybe, and it was in the pouring rain. People came in umbrellas, and they had various plastic rain jackets on and so on. And the weather was terrible, but the demonstration was highly spirited. Many photographs were taken, video, a lot of really good photos of the signs and pickets that were and leafleting that were occurring at that time. So if anything like that happens for Saturday, it will be considered a great success. So I just wanted to again, I'll give you the Facebook page. It's McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice. They have an event page which is called Boycott of SodaStream Product Hamilton Picket, or you can try emailing hcsw@kojiko.ca if you need information on where to meet for the 11 a.m. picket at Saturday.